Hi, I'm Lucy and welcome to Lucy Talks. This podcast is all about finding meaning, self-belief and connection while embracing the seasons of your life. I believe that your happiness matters for the planet. When we are fulfilled and feeling self-confident, we are so much more able to take meaningful action, both in our lives and for social change. I want this podcast to dare you to reimagine your own life and the world we live in, and to feel empowered to make changes. All of this while using the lens of the changing seasons to allow for softness, kindness, and balance. I'm so excited to have you here. Let's get started. Hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is episode 3 of our winter season of the podcast, where we're talking everything slowing down, active rest, being intentional, and kind of working out a plan to go forwards with. I'm always like really excited to record a podcast episode because I just love it so much, but this one I'm particularly excited for because it's kind of like my mission statement, my kind of hypothesis that I've come up with for why I think it's so important to look after yourself and to prioritize your happiness and your fulfillment in life for not just yourself but for the planet and social change. I've got a lot to talk about in this episode, so I hope you'll stick with me to the end and take some stuff on board, and I would love to hear what you think, whether you agree, whether you disagree, whether you think there's like loopholes in it. I would genuinely love to hear your thoughts and just to kind of bring this community together a bit more. If you ever feel like reaching out, then like don't hesitate. I'd love to chat about anything and everything. You can email me, which is lucytalkspod@gmail.com, or head over to Instagram and I'm lucytalks_ on there. Although I'm not particularly regular with being on Instagram, that's an intentional thing, but I will reply to your messages if they're there. So yeah, let's get into this episode. I'm so excited about it. First of all, let's begin with a bit of gratitude. So, 3 things that I'm grateful for this week. I really want to start off every podcast episode with just a little bit of gratitude because we just fly through this life and it's so easy to just let the good things slip away. So, a few little gratitudes. Firstly, I'm really grateful for having a purpose and an income with the part-time work that I have at the moment. I'm currently doing some tutoring, which is great because it kind of gets my brain going a bit more and you can kind of see the direct impact that you're having, so that's nice. I am also working at a cafe and that's great for being able to socialise a bit more, to talk to different people, and I guess just to feel part of that team that is, you know, just running the cafe, serving the customers, etc. It's nice and I'm enjoying that. Hopefully, along with that, I'll have an income soon, maybe, hopefully. Yes, please. Because it's been a while since I've been paid and I'm waiting for it. Say that. Okay, my second thing is my paint by numbers that I've been doing with Freya in the evening sometimes. I find it so absorbing. Currently, like, my mind is a little bit scattered at times. It's pinging all over the place. There's a million one things on my mind, but this paint by numbers is great because you just get in the flow and it's almost like it's addictive. You just keep painting it and you can't, I get in this like groove of painting and you just can't stop. It's like, oh, one more box. So I like that because you're not really thinking of anything else. I did a huge paint by numbers in lockdown and I loved it then for similar reasons, because you can just escape, you can just get in your own little world, and it's, yeah, very like mind numbing, I guess. And the third thing is I've written down my able body. I think I've written this really because I almost know that I'm not grateful enough for the fact that I can have like working limbs, working brain, working organs. Like I'm very, very healthy and I'm very, very grateful for that, but I'm not necessarily consciously grateful for that in the day-to-day. I walk down to work and that's amazing because I've got independence. I can cook dinner, I can, you know, hug my loved ones. I just think it's something that I probably take for granted and shouldn't, because it's such a amazing thing to have. So yeah, that's my 3 little gratitudes for the week. Okay, let's get started, let's get going. So excited about this, and yeah, let's get into it. Okay, so this episode is kind of like the other half of my mission statement. So the first episode was me talking about this idea of living in the seasons, kind of having a cyclical nature to to life and living in tune with that, because it is such a natural thing. We have our overall seasons of life. You have maybe seasons of the year where you're experiencing different emotions at different times of the year, and if you're someone who has a menstrual cycle, that's going to play into how you experience different seasons on a monthly basis as well. So that's kind of one half of the new like structure for the podcast, and this is another section of it, kind of me condensing what I really want to focus on in my podcast. Obviously there's going to be variety across episodes, but this is like my core belief that I want to try and take forward throughout all my future episodes, something I see as really crucial for our overall happiness and for our societies that we're living in functioning well. And I just don't think it's really spoken about. So here is me speaking about it. That's what the podcast is for, I guess. So this statement is the title of the episode, which is that your happiness matters for the planet. I'm going to break this down in all of the different ways, but let's start with happiness, okay? So defining happiness for me is being able to experience all of the emotions. It doesn't mean you have to be happy all of the time, but in that process, having a general sense of friendship, I guess, with yourself, alignment with your values, and in that I just mean knowing what they are, knowing what you value most, and kind of acting in alignment with that. And this sense of like inner trust in yourself, knowing you can trust yourself and knowing that you are going to do what's best for you and best for the people that you care about, and that you can trust yourself if you say you're going to do something. And for me at the moment, what this looks like is being authentic over trying to make people like me. I'm definitely a people pleaser, definitely have those tendencies running through of wanting to make everyone else happy and like minimize myself, but I think there's a balance to be found in that. I don't want to be mean to others, I want to be kind, I want to be giving in my time, but also if there's something that I need to prioritize for my own well-being, then I want to do that as a priority as well. So yeah, I've got this little like authenticity over acceptance mantra, I guess, that I try to run through my mind, and that makes sense to me. But happiness might make sense to you in loads of different ways. I think there's this general sense of feeling self-assured in who you are and kind of happy to be living your life as you. Not saying there's not going to be ups and downs, not saying there's not going to be really difficult times, and that maybe you won't feel explicitly happy and joyful and excited all the time, because you know, that's life. You're not going to feel like that all the time. It's just an emotion. But here I'm defining happiness as, yeah, this general sense of fulfillment. I like the phrase friendship with yourself. I feel like it sums it up quite well. You can picture what being a good friend to someone else means. And then if you recognize that you're maybe not extending that same kindness and friendship to yourself, then, you know, it's a good indicator of where you're at in terms of your overall sense of self and fulfillment and peace and all of that. So that's what I'm defining happiness as for this episode. Okay, so obviously feeling happy is amazing in and of itself. We love happy people. We love people who feel confident in themselves, who do good for others. So obviously feeling happy is amazing in and of itself. We love happy people, we love people who are feeling their best, and that's all well and good and should be celebrated in and of itself. But also, I believe that we want self-assured, kind, strong people in our world if we're going to create positive, meaningful change. We want people who are going to be amazing leaders. We want people with the biggest imaginations to run wild and to be able to change the systems that we're existing in. People to feel self-confident enough to share their own ideas or critiques or experiences of the world. We want deep thinkers and solutions-focused problem solvers. We want people who are hopeful for the future, who are feeling positive for the future. We want inspiring speakers, we want compassionate writers, we want all of the people who are feeling good about themselves and using that to then share happiness and kindness and whatever else with the world. Because I think that people who are acting from kindness towards themselves extend that kindness to others more freely. So from my own personal experiences, I know that I've felt more inspired to take action and also have actually taken more action when I'm happier with how my life is going. When I'm unhappy and particularly feeling anxious or sad, I'm really not thinking about how to save the world or even like the people around me. I'm just going into survival mode and I'm thinking about myself. I'm, you know, wrapped up in that feeling of anxiety or sadness or loneliness, and I'm not in a place to be helping the planet or anyone else or contributing to any meaningful change. When I'm feeling sad, I'm selfish and I'm thinking about myself and I'm not thinking about the bigger picture. When I'm feeling great, then that's when I feel so much more motivated and inspired and empowered to actually take action and to believe that my voice matters and that I can make a difference. And I just think this isn't spoken about enough because it kind of goes against our common sense. We might think that if we're already happy, why would we want to rock the boat? Why would we want to take action when everything in our life is kind of fine? When I say it, like, that does make sense, but it's not what the research shows. So studies have not supported this common sense view, and it's been found that students who are happier are more likely to act on social causes that they care about, from environmental issues to countering white supremacy. And in these two different experiments that this group did, I'll leave the article linked below the research paper. So in these experiments, they found that the happier students were more likely to engage in protests, to donate money, and to sign up to stay informed about issues. And that the happiest people are less worried about the environment, but are still more likely to have taken actions to protect the environment. And I just think that's so cool because it shows us that it's true that your happiness matters for the planet. If you're feeling low and dejected and hopeless, you're not going to be engaging with other people. You're not going to be giving your time or your money. You're just going to be feeling insular and concerned about your own life and your own emotions, which is fair enough, you know, like when you're sad, that's something that you want to take care of, and you don't want to be pushing yourself and trying to help everyone else when there's something that's pressing to you. This article says that far from weakening our social engagement, feeling better may give us the inner resources we need to take on difficult issues without being paralysed. And I think this plays into the whole climate anxiety piece, because this is a big phenomenon in climate researchers and activists and people who are involved in the climate space. There's a lot of climate anxiety, and rightly so. Like, it's a terrifying phenomenon, climate change. It's a very, very pressing crisis, and as just one person, it is very easy to feel overwhelmed by everything. However, we're not just one person. If we are feeling good about ourselves and connecting with others and kind of engaging in the right places, then we're not just one person. We can make a big difference, as I'll talk about later on. So going back to this research paper, the second study that they did was of middle school students, and they found that their levels of gratitude predicted how much they would help other people and also how connected they would feel at the broader community level 6 months after the experiment. So they've kind of concluded that rather than making us complacent, gratitude and happiness can give us a greater sense of purpose and a greater orientation towards our community, which might nudge us to take social action. And I love this. I love this concept so much, and it definitely relates to my own personal experiences of when I'm feeling good, I'm feeling more inspired, and when I'm feeling a bit shit, I'm feeling kind of selfish and not really helping other people. And I just think that it's so important to be considering this when we're talking about social change and creating positive changes in our world, because if we're a bunch of people who are feeling a bit depressed and generally quite anxious, then that's going to feed into the work that we do. Whereas if we're coming from a place of, you know, friendship with ourselves, kindness towards ourselves, we're going to be extending that towards other people, and that's going to create a more positive change in the world. So yeah, that's my kind of mission statement in a nutshell. This is like my core belief that I'm going to be taking forward in all of the episodes, and I'd really love to hear what you think about it. Please get in touch if you are able. One of my big dreams for this podcast, I was speaking a lot about dreams in last week's episode and how we need to dream bigger. So if you haven't listened to that, go and check it out. But my big dream for this podcast is to be able to create a community in person from this little online project that I've created of me just chatting away to a microphone in my bedroom. I would love to actually form connections with people who are like-minded and, you know, are passionate about things and care about the planet. I'd love to, you know, just create a community of people who are really cool people. That is like such a goal of mine. And well, right now, I don't really know how that's going to happen. I can kind of see it. I can see how it could potentially happen, even if I don't know all the details. So yeah, focusing on the what rather than the how, as I was saying last week. But yeah, this is exciting to me, and I just want to follow it and see where it's going. So bringing back the seasons into all of this, right now, this season of the podcast is the winter season of the podcast, which to me means taking stock and taking active rest, kind of focusing more on our internal world rather than the external world, and just slowing down and listening to ourselves. So in all of this, I really want to create space for the seasons and for the natural ups and downs of life. And to me, this is a really key piece when I'm talking about happiness in any form, because we have to create space for these natural like ebbs and flows, for things like parental leave and grief, absence from work and illnesses and injury, and to also be a bit more radical in thinking about how we approach the world of work and kind of anything that involves doing, like any actions, any changes that we want to make. My friend Capu sent me a really great example of this the other day. So she's reading a book called Period Queen by Lucy Peach, and in it there's a story of the American women's football team in 2019 who won the World Cup, and they credited a secret weapon that gave them an edge in their winning, which was cycle tracking. So every player's training schedule was bespoke to her cycle, working in sync with her body and telling her when to work harder for more gain, when to get more sleep, what to eat at what time of the month, and so on, because these are all really important factors that change over our cycle. It's not as black and white as the research suggests, which is typically just based on men. And I think that this is such a great example of using our seasons, of our cycle, of like this seasonal aspect of life as well in general, to be more in tune with when to push harder and when to slow down and rest, when we need to be, you know, giving ourselves a kick up the bum to get going, and when we need to be kind and soften. And I think that cycle tracking is an amazing example of this. And in this case, it's been used to win a World Cup in football, which is amazing. So yeah, that's a cool little example. And another example that I found on LinkedIn was that the Earthrise Studios team, who are amazing, by the way, they're a creative studio and media company, and they tell stories essentially for hope and possibility, and stories that are going to help us combat climate change. Definitely recommend, if you know Jack Harries or Alice Adie, they are the founders of this company and they're just such amazing people. They've recently produced a documentary series called Power, which is all about the power systems that are going on, particularly in terms of energy and fossil fuels. I'm yet to watch it all yet, but it's definitely on my list. So anyway, this studio's team do something pretty radical each year, and I say radical, but it actually just makes a lot of sense. So they have 3 weeks of paid leave over the Christmas holidays. Everyone in their company gets 3 weeks paid leave, and they can all go home and take genuine rest, active rest, time with their families, time to recharge, time to reflect on how things have been going, and then be fired up to come back in the new year. And I'd love this idea. Obviously, it's not possible for every industry, healthcare industry, education, I guess, you know, it's not possible for everyone. But I just think this is such a great example of how rest can be a superpower for a company rather than something that they need to give out sparingly and, you know, make the most of their human resources. I find that such a weird phrase. Like, HR stands for human resources. Is a human a resource? Anyway, sidetracked. But I love that they can use rest as something that's going to really benefit them going into the next cycle, into the next phase of their story with their company. So yeah, I love that. The final thing that I wanted to touch on and address in this episode, the final thing I wanted to talk about, is the common narrative that our impact as one individual is really, really small, and that what difference can I make? I'm just one person, like there's no point trying, let's just give up before I've even started, it's not going to make any difference. Another one that I hear people say is, well, our country is so small, it doesn't make a difference because there's all these other bigger companies that we can't control, so let's just not bother. And I find these narratives so frustrating, and also so hard to, like, it's hard to argue against that kind of thinking. But I do really think that although our impact might be small on a relative scale in terms of the whole world at large, this idea that we can't make any difference as an individual is so flawed. If you've listened to my episode with Mary Black that I did a while ago, she's phenomenal. She inspired me so much. And she kind of just really matter of fact said to me when I was kind of using this argument in the episode that we recorded, she was like, well, it's all relative. So you're, imagine this mountain, and from your perspective, you're halfway up the mountain and you can't really see how you're going to make any change. You're maybe like pushing this big rock up the mountain, but relative to someone, the very, very few people right at the top, maybe they have more power than you, fair enough. But there's also all of the other people, the majority of people in the world, who are at the bottom of this mountain. They're trying to push these big boulders up the hill, and actually from your position halfway up the mountain, you have so much privilege and you have so much opportunity to make genuine change. I'm fortunate enough to have been born in the UK. I'm like middle class. I've got a very decent start in life, and I just think it's crazy that we've all convinced ourselves that we don't have any impact over the world, because we do, especially as a collective. We really do. If we come together, there's so much that can happen. And another point I want to bring up here is the idea of behaviour contagion. This is the notion that our behaviours within our social networks are very similar to contagious viruses. So imagine your daily actions, attitudes, and work habits maybe radiating outwards like invisible little tendrils, and they are influencing not only your immediate colleagues, but also people several degrees removed from you. So once your behaviour has happened, once the action has happened, we tend to think that it has no impact anymore. But really, it's kind of like this ripple effect. This contagion effect has also been proven in research to extend up to 3 degrees of separation. So what that means is, imagine you are the person zero. You're the centre of the circle. You might appreciate that your actions are going to affect people in the first degree of separation. So that's maybe your close family, your immediate colleagues, people that you're having direct conversations with. That's the first degree of separation. But actually, your actions have effects on people up to the third degree of separation. And this has been proven in research. So you've got that first circle, the first degree of separation. But those people that you've had direct conversations with are also going to refer to those conversations or talk to other people at that second degree about the same things, about what you've said. And furthermore, those people are also going to have conversations with others up to the third degree of separation. So obviously, like, it might go further, it might go less, but on average, our actions have this ripple effect up to the third degree, which is kind of crazy. Like, this is someone that you know, who knows someone, who knows you and knows what you're talking about. That's like the third degree, basically. And personally, I would probably have guessed that it goes up to the second degree, maybe. Like, I might talk to someone and I might have a vague appreciation that they might speak to someone else about what I've been doing. But actually, it goes further than that. It goes one step further. And to put some numbers on this, so in an experiment that they were doing to try and prove the 3 degrees of separation, they were measuring the effect of people with a strong cultural attribute at this like zero node, the center of your circle, and seeing the effect of those people 3 degrees away. So for example, the cultural attribute of managing relationships, this was then transferred 37% more at the first step, 12% more at the second step, and 6% more at the third step. So that's the third degrees of separation. So that's colleagues 3 degrees away. And similarly, the attribute of taking accountability for your actions, that exhibited a 20% increase at the first step from being exposed to this person who did take accountability for their actions, a 12% increase at the second stage, and a 6% increase again at the third step. So it kind of proves that although you might not see the tangible impact of your difference, your actions do have an impact on people that you don't even know. And I think that's a really interesting point to consider, and makes me definitely think about my actions more, because I'm like, well, if me taking accountability, for example, or managing my relationships well, if that's going to have an impact on people that I don't even know, without me even knowing about it, that's the bit that's a bit a bit rubbish, because you don't know what impact you're having. But still, that's a cool thing, and shouldn't just be taken with a pinch of salt. That's a pretty impressive thing. So yeah, that's everything that I have to say. I really hope that this episode has come together in the way that I wanted it to. I want this to be an episode that really sums up what I'm trying to put across in my podcast. And I kind of spoke a bit last week about wanting to have more clarity and intention behind the podcast. That's kind of what I want for the changes. And I just genuinely believe that your happiness and your overall well-being and sense of self matters for the planet and for social justice and for making positive changes to the world. And obviously your happiness matters in itself. It matters because you matter and you deserve to feel happy, but it also matters because being unhappy or happy determines the happiness of other people around you and the people that you interact with at work and their loved ones and people that they interact with, people who are being influenced by this ripple effect of the choices that you're making. I want to finish with a little challenge for you, because it is hard to have this like inner trust in yourself that I was talking about, to have a strong sense of self and self-confidence. But one thing that I think builds this is showing up for yourself. And I challenge you to show up for yourself once in a little way each day this week before the next episode comes out. So this could be something like committing to a yoga session that you said you were going to do, committing to a 5-minute meditation, going out with a friend if you'd promised them that you were going to go out with them, calling your mum if you had said that you're going to call her, not snoozing your alarm, or going for a walk, you know, all of these random little things. I challenge you to show up for yourself at least once each day this week, and let me know how you do. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Love you lots, and see you soon. Bye.